you stand.
We're going to do the doxology this morning. We used to do this every Sunday here, and I think it'd be a great way to start today, the doxology. So let's sing together doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
You know, when you sing that, you realize what you're really singing and what you're who you're joining in with. Praise Him, all creatures here below. That's you and me. Praise Him, all ye heavenly host. That's the angels and our loved ones that are in heaven. So we're just joining in with the praise of our Lord that's echoing and reverberating all through heaven when we sing the praises of God. Just enjoy it. And remember that they're singing along with you. What a joy. We're glad you're here in the Lord's house today. Some of you maybe pigged out on turkey, and some of you pigged out on football, but we're glad that you're all here this morning. And we pray God's blessings upon us. And we know His presence is here. If you're in the parking lot listening on the radio, we're glad that you've joined us there. And if you're listening later on the website, we're so glad that you're a part of the service. May we pray. Father, we thank You that we can come and praise the holy name of Jesus, the name that's above every name. Thank You, Father. We do praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We worship You. We honor You. Lord, we thank You for the many blessings that we have. Oh, Father, You just blessed us and blessed us and blessed us. And Lord, I know sometimes the devil tries to convince us that we're not blessed enough, but Lord, when we just think of all that we have, we just thank You. Thank You, Lord. And Lord, You're so welcome in this service to be honored, to speak Your mind, Your heart to us. And Lord, help us to have spiritual ears to hear what You're saying to our hearts. And we thank You for doing that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ed. We are going to sing this morning, as our hymn sing, a Thanksgiving song, a song that we think of when to sing at Thanksgiving. But as our lesson taught us this morning, we need to be thankful all the time. And so we're going to sing this song together. We gather together, and if you would, if it's on 636, if you follow the board, we gather together to seek the God's blessings. All stand together, please.
From the beginning, the Father.
everybody said, amen. You may be seated. Well, it is good to see everyone this morning, and I know that we all, Press Trust, you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving, and everybody had a good time in the Lord, and blessed, and family was together. It's a good time to be together. This morning, as we want to share with you some announcements, and we have quite a few to share with you this morning. So we'll start off with the Baptist Children's Home annual offering. It is continuing on this month, so if you have not donated yet, please do so. And whatever we give will be matched by an anonymous donor through January. So that's a beautiful thing too. So what the most we can give, it'll be matched, and that's wonderful. West Stanley Christian Ministries is teaming up with local churches and people throughout the county to collect money for the toys for the family in the area. So that'll be a Christmas offering, and it'll be given on December the 9th. So please, if you want to help the Christian ministries of West Stanley Christian Ministries, please do so. Wings information, and I'm going to ask Miss Rosina, where are you? There you are. You moved on me. Miss Rosina, you've got something you want to share with us concerning the Baptist women, please.
That is why I came home. A couple of things. This is for our Wings ladies. Our next meeting will be Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, the 29th, at 10 o'clock in Fellowship Hall. We have some Christmas party that Tamara has started for us, and we need to do that.
Yeah, we'll do it. Hey. Thank you, Miss Rosina. Thank you for what you're doing, and thank you to all the ladies of our church, the Baptist women, or the Wings. We also, there's a note in the bulletin as well that the Tony and Ruth Eford, that you still will need to supply lunches to them. If you want to mention that, Miss Rosina. Yes.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, church. I want to also remind you of the Boston butt sale that got coming up. Be $40 each, and we need to be by December the 16th, right, Jeff? You want to make us... Okay.
If somebody doesn't have a sheet, see me after church. I got them in my truck. And Larry, okay. What time do you meet the Baptist meeting here Saturday?
I would probably say, let's see, we have 6 o'clock,
5 o'clock.
Let's do about 3:30. It'll be fine. We're not cooking a huge. It's gonna be good, but it won't be a huge meal. Okay. Okay, Christmas card directory, it's available to you. If you haven't, just write down here on the front and pick them up, and that you do that, and a Christmas card box will be in the hallway as we normally do. So just please, if you don't normally do that, keep doing it up and make a donation as well to whatever the cost of the stamps would have been. Okay. Christmas program, December the 17th. We've been rehearsing, and we've got the praise team rehearsing with music, and we're working together to put together a program of music for Christmas. There'll also be a Christmas Sunday morning. That morning of the 17th will be well, where our children will be providing a lot of that, Kathy. And so y'all remember that. So it'll be good. December the 17th, we will be celebrating our Christmas with our Christmas program here at the church at 6 that night, okay? Your poinsettias, they will be here and around all, everybody. Okay, so, and I know Miss Angie will do her thing, and this will be a beautiful place, so.
What was the cutoff date for the poinsettias?
I don't remember.
Robert,
it was 2 weeks ago.
You're
late.
Sweetheart,
she's got you covered. All right. Isn't it wonderful that we can still smile and have a good time? We pick on Robert way too much, but I will tell you this. When you need something done, it's good to talk to Robert. He will get it done for you. All righty. After the Building and Grounds Committee, the Building and Grounds will not meet until after the holidays. Any announcements I may have overlooked at this point? All righty. Let's go to our prayer request this morning. I'm sure that we all will continue to remember Tony and Ruth. And anybody else this morning that you want to lift up before the Lord? Yeah, Robert.
I want to put my sister Carol and I.
Okay. All right. Yes, Miss Rosina.
I'd like to ask for prayer for our loss of dear friend this week on Thanksgiving Day. Thank God for that. And he passed away. Put that family in your prayer. The McCrory family.
The Corey?
McCrory.
The name again, please, for the child.
T.J. Christian.
Oh, that's okay. We know T.J. Yes, we've been praying for him. Okay.
And Leonard, I thank the church so much for the prayers for Evan. He's doing very good, and we will get Staples out tomorrow for that.
Okay.
The Lord is so with him. And we are
yeah, Evan's he's a blessed man, no doubt.
Yes.
Brother Jim, you had your hands.
So. Yeah, I have a cousin that lives in Elko, Nevada. He was black, went to Salt Lake City over the weekend, and he has a double pneumonia.
Okay.
What's his name? Charles Becker.
Is that Becker?
Also, Mike Smith is a good friend of mine, Jim. His sister got killed on Facebook the other day.
Okay. Is that a family of Pamela Carrick?
Pamela Carrick. She was killed by a bus driving through
the rain. Yeah, I read that in the paper.
Tragic.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
The family of Jonathan Sharp, he's the young man I had on the prayer list.
Yes, you have.
He's a child of Woodburn Strokes. He's passed away from.
Okay. Yes, Robert.
I'm having a procedure done on Tuesday, so I would like to pray.
Okay. Are there others? If not, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so thankful to be in your house today. So thankful, Lord, that we have can look over this congregation today and see those who have prioritized their time to be here to witness and to be able to worship your precious name. Lord, as we have just came through the Thanksgiving season, Lord, we want to continue, Lord, to remember, Lord, to be thankful in all things. Lord, we can make so many, many lists of thankfulness that you've done for us, of things you've done for us and continue to do. So, Lord, we'll just say thank you for being the awesome God that you are. Thank you for providing our needs. Thank you for being providing salvation. And then, Lord, as we look at the list of names this morning that we have that have been asked for prayer, we lift them up to you, Lord. We pray for Tony and Ruth. As they continue to get better, Lord, and Lord, we ask to continue to give them strength. We ask to pray for Carolyn High. As she had a fall, we pray for her health, Lord, this morning. The McElroy family. We pray for TJ, Lord, this morning. The family there. And Lord Evans, Lord, as we had a good praise report from him, Lord, we thank you for sparing him, Lord, and taking him through this accident. And we thank you for the blessings you've given him. We pray for Charles Becker this morning. We lift up Pam Carrick family this morning. And John Shark family. Also, Robert, as he is going to be having a procedure, we pray for him, Lord. It'll all turn out well, and we pray for healing and good health for his body. Thank you, Lord, for our pastor, Lord. We continue to pray for him. And, Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would be with him today, Lord, as he comes and as he presents the sermon for us today. And then, Lord, if there be someone here that does not know you as their Savior, Lord, we pray, Lord, that today will be the day they will make a decision. It will change their life forever. Now, Lord, with these blessings we ask in your humble name, Jesus Christ. Amen. We got a song today that I don't believe we've ever done it together in a car. If we have, I don't remember it. And it's a prayer. It's the Lord's Prayer. And you say, well, I've not sung that in a while. We're going to about, as old fellow says, we're fixing to. Everybody stand, let's sing the Lord's Prayer.
Which art in heaven.
You know, there's a plant at my house that was given whenever Pamela passed away. It's been sitting on the end of the kitchen table now for months and months. I'm not much into plants, but I think somebody told me it was a peace lily. It's got these big, broad, green leaves, and I don't know how many times over the last 9 months or so I'll be sitting there eating, and I'll look over, and that thing will be all drooped over, looks like it's about to die. So I'll get up and pour a pint of water in the thing, and next thing I think, it's all perked up and lively and looks like it's good. But if I don't keep pouring water in that thing, it's not going to make it. And I was sitting there looking at it one day this week, and I thought, you know, that just sort of reminds me of the grace and mercy of God. You think about the children of Israel, starting in the wilderness and all the way into the New Testament. How many times did Israel get droopy spiritually? They backslid, they began to worship other gods, they turned their back on God, they began to do things that didn't please the Lord. And their spiritual life just went out of them. And then some prophet like Elijah or Amos or Hosea or Jeremiah, one of the others would come and begin to preach, and an enemy would attack, and it would scare the living daylights out of them, and before you know it, they'd repent and they'd turn back to God, and God would revive them. God would restore them. God would refresh them and forgive them. Over and over and over again, when they got droopy spiritually, God revived them. And you know, that's sort of the whole message of Thanksgiving and Christmas and Easter. God's grace, God's mercy, God that comes to us over and over and over again and revives us. In Psalm 85, the psalmist says, beginning at verse 1, Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sins. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. You know, he begins that passage talking about how God has revived them in the past. God has restored them in the past. God has forgiven them in the past. And then in verse 4, he's saying, now, Lord, turn us to you. In verse 5, he says, Lord, will you please revive us one more time? Lord, will you revive us again? Why? Why? That we may rejoice. You know, it's impossible for a backslidden follower of God to be happy. It's impossible for a backslidden Christian to really rejoice in the Lord. It's just not possible. You know, David said, Lord, search me, O God. Know my heart. Try my thoughts. See if there's any wicked way in me, and then restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. David knew that he needed to be restored, and if he was going to be restored, God had to deal with all of his sin or any place in his life that was not right. And then once God had dealt with those things in his life that were not right, then joy would come. Let me ask you a question. Would you say our nation needs to be revived today? I think you'd agree with that. There's a lot of things in our nation that aren't right. There's a lot of things in our nation that are ungodly. There are a lot of things in our nation that just totally are against the things of God. Would you say our church needs to be revived? Would our church need to be really revived? How on fire are we for Jesus? Really, really on fire for Jesus. I mean, we've got great fellowship, love for one another, a certain level of commitment. But are we really on fire for Jesus? How many churches do you know that are on fire for Jesus? I can't name many. Not in standing in Montgomery County. There are not many. We need to be revived. What about individually? How many of us need to be really revived individually? Or are our lives showing forth really the grace of God, the power of God, the glory of God? You know, when somebody looks at us and hears the way we talk and the way we act and the way we do, they say, wow, that's a really an on-fire Christian. How many of us need to be really revived spiritually, individually? And I'm starting here with the preacher right behind this pulpit and out to everybody and anybody that's listening later. How many of us really need to be revived? The psalmist says, Lord, would you please revive us again so that we'd have joy? And he says, Lord, we need your mercy. We need your mercy. And it's only by the mercy and grace of God that he does forgive us. You know, sometimes we use the expression, one, two, three strikes and you're out. Well, now, if God had done that with Israel, they'd have never made it out of the wilderness. Now, there's a couple of times he was just about to do it, and Moses said, please, Lord, please, give him another chance. But God is merciful. I quote it often in the book of Lamentations, thy mercies are new, when? Every morning. Well, frankly, most days I use up all I got yesterday. I didn't have any left over for today. I'm glad that I could go to God's Mercy Bank and get a new deposit every morning, because most days I use up all that God had for me the day before. Revive us again. What's one of the things that's involved in reviving? Turn with me to a passage of scripture that really looked at a few weeks ago, about 2 weeks ago. And I just want to look at one phrase or one little verse that we probably mentioned 2 weeks ago, but we need to look at it again. Ephesians 5 and the... And we'll read verse 25 to give you the context. Ephesians 5. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, gave himself for us, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Revival comes when our lives, our church, our nation is washed by the water of the Word of God. Washed by the water of the Word of God. I almost don't want to make you raise your hands. Any of you, mama, tell you, it's time for supper, go wash your hands. And you went around the corner and you wiped your hands on your pants and came back. And mama said, let me see your hands. She said, did you use soap and water? It's obvious you didn't. You had to have soap. Maybe you told that to your kids and they came back with dirty hands. You know, you had to have soap and water to get your hands clean. Individually, as a church, as a nation, it's going to take the soap and water of the Word of God for us to be cleansed. It doesn't happen automatically. It takes an adherence to the Word of God. The Word that's throughout the Scriptures. Throughout the Scriptures. I realize that today it's so popular to say, well, now, this is right and that's right and the modern culture is so and so, and no, we don't do this and we don't do that and we do the other based on what some psychiatrist or psychologist or some educator said, not on thus saith the Lord. And when somebody, whether they're a teacher or a politician or some business leader, begins to espouse biblical values, they get talked about like they're an idiot. Now, I'm not really, don't want to get into politics. The new Speaker of the House, I wouldn't know him if he came in the door. I don't know whether I'd vote for him or not if he was representing our area. But I saw a couple of references that said something about his 18th century values. Evidently, some of the things he believes are based on the Bible, and the liberal media are crazy in criticizing. Well, like I said, I don't know him. I don't know what all of his beliefs are. But evidently, some of the things he believes are based on the Bible, and he's getting criticized for it. You remember when former Vice President Pence was criticized because he wouldn't go out and eat with some woman that wasn't his wife? Like, avoid temptation. We need to be washed with the water of the Word of God. There's a very interesting passage of Scripture in Chronicles that all of a sudden in the middle of the night last night, the Lord reminded me that 2 Chronicles 34, if you want to look there, or if you want to look it up later. But it's just so interesting. The first says Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 1 and 30 years. Josiah, 8-year-old boy, became the king of Jerusalem, of Judah. And then verse 3 says, in the 8th year of his reign, in other words, he'd have been 16 at that time, when he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David, his father, and in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places, the groves, the carved images, and the molten images. And he broke down the altars of Balaam in his presence and the images that were on the high above them. In other words, 8 years old when he began to reign, when he was 16, he began a revival as best he knew how to tear down all the idols in the places of idol worship in Judah. Now, when you go to verse 8, it says, in the 18th year of his reign, which would have been 26, after he'd purged the land of all of that idol stuff, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Messiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Joahaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. Evidently, over a period of time, that beautiful temple that Solomon had built had begun to look like some of our garages, basements, attics, pretty well junked up with mess. And so Josiah comes up with some money and he gives it to these leaders and he says, go clean up the mess. Go clean up the mess that's there in God's house. And in the middle of verse 14, the last half, it says, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. And Hilkiah answered and said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. And Shaphan carried the book to the king and brought the king word back, saying, all that was committed to thy service, they do it. Well, what's happening? They found the Word of God. Now, I'd imagine most of us, if you go to our house, we've got 4, 5, 6. Firstly, because I'm a pastor, I probably got 20 Bibles of all different translations. But back in those days when the Bible was written by hand, no printing presses, laboriously conquered one little verse at a time, one little letter at a time, on a scroll. Everybody didn't have a Bible. And so in the process of cleaning up the mess in the temple, they find the Bible, which they said the book of the law, the first 5 books of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And they start reading it and say, wow, we got to show this to the king. And in the middle of verse 21, go inquire of the Lord for me and for them that are left of Israel and Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do all that is written in this book. The king realized, we messed up. We need reviving because we have violated the word of God. And they go to find out what needs to be done, and they begin to do it. And revival comes to the nation. All based on what? They found the word of God, and they applied the word of God to their national life. Paul writes to Ephesians, we need to be cleansed by the washing of the water of the word. We need to allow the Lord Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to take God's word and cleanse us and renew us and revive us. From time to time, we need to sort of take God's word, sort of like a yardstick, and put it up here and put our life along beside of it and see how we measure up. Now, sometimes in our earlier in our walk with the Lord, we don't do it but just occasionally. Hopefully we get to the place in the Lord that we're doing it consistently and constantly so that on a regular daily basis, hour by hour, we're trying to make sure that our life measures up with the word of God. I remember, it's been a long time ago, but suddenly one day, you know, it's like the Holy Spirit said, Ed, do you notice that when you're around certain people who are especially vulgar, your language slips a little bit? I wasn't going to the ugly curse words that they were going, but just some halfway words. And it took me about 3 or 4 days to get it out of my system after I left these people. Well, because they were family members, I couldn't escape being around them. But once the Holy Spirit showed me that my life didn't measure up, I could zip my lip and just not say those words. Not say those phrases. In other words, I was doing what I'm just saying to you, trying to make my life align with the Word of God and how important that is. I don't care what they tell you in the educational system. I don't care what the liberal media tells you. We need, if we're going to be revived, our lives have to align with the Word of God. There's no other way. I mean, we can try everything else under the sun, and we have done it in the United States. It's just so interesting. Sometimes, I just want to laugh and cry to ignorance of some people. Sorry, Erin isn't here. She might appreciate this or might not. I was talking with an assistant principal of one of the largest high schools in Charlotte several years ago. Here's what she said to me. There are no bad students, only bad teachers. Well, you know, you've got students that were abused before they got there, hungry before they got there, parents that were on drugs, all kinds of things. I said, no, wait a minute. No bad students, no bad, only bad teachers. I said, let's carry that a little farther. There are no bad teachers, just bad administrators. Let's carry that a little further. There are no bad administrators, just bad college professors in the School of Education. You know, that's the way I think. Logically, if you're going to lay the blame on the teachers, let's lay the blame on the people that look to the teachers and the people that taught the administrators that take care of the teacher. And we've tried everything under the sun. But only when we get back to the Word of God individually, as a church, as a nation, will we ever be revived. There's no other way. No other way. I want us to look at one other passage of Scripture. You know, they hated Billy Graham because how many times did he say, the Bible says, they don't want to hear what the Bible says. And yet the Bible is the only thing the Word of God is the only thing that will cleanse us. Jesus said, I'm going to cleanse my church by the washing of the water of the Word. Revelation 22, verse 17, and there's an open invitation. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. That little plant on my table has got to have water to survive. And the last, almost the last invitation of the Bible, it says, if you're thirsty for Jesus, come take a drink. If you're thirsty for Jesus, come take a drink. That's an open invitation to every individual, every church, to our nation. When we get thirsty enough, we'll take a drink. Israel so often got way, way, way down before they ever got thirsty enough to go back to God and take a drink. And I keep praying, Lord, have we not reached the bottom? As a denomination, many of us as individuals, and especially as our nation, to go back and drink. And he says, take of the water of life freely. It's not like there's a ration on it. You only get a half a cup. You can have all you want. How thirsty are we going to have to be before we come to the Lord and say, Lord, wilt thou not revive us again. Christmas is a reminder God so loved, He gave. God so loved, He gave. Freely. Freely. May we receive. May we be thirsty. May we align our lives with the Word of God and allow the Lord to take the Word and cleanse us. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes for a moment? How thirsty are you this morning? Do you need revival this morning? Ask the Lord to revive your heart. If you're not thirsty, ask the Lord to give you a thirst. Are there areas in your life that you know don't line up with the Word of God? Things you're reading, things you're seeing, places you're going, the way you talk, the way you act. Are there things in your life that don't add up? Are there activities you'd be embarrassed if Jesus were in the flesh to invite Him to go with you? Oh, the Word of God is such a refreshing. Such a refreshing. The Bible talks about Jesus being the Word of God. Allow Jesus, the Word of God, to cleanse you, refresh you, renew you, restore you, empower you, to bring honor and glory to Himself. Father, we thank You for Your mercy. We thank You for Your grace. Thank You for Your love. Father, please revive us again. Set this church on fire for Jesus. Set our individual lives on fire for Jesus. And Lord, we know there's been little pockets of outbreak in America. Lord, we need a national revival. So, Father, we pray for it to come. May Your Word be supreme in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.